أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين. صدق الله العظيم.
If we look at the greatness, anybody's greatness, their status, their obedience, their following, their servanthood, then if we want to see that that has been accepted in the heart, how can a person do that? How can he implement that? What is the method he can adopt that all of these things at one time, a person, through the action, through implementing all of these things, he can fulfill the greatness, the glory, your servanthood is there, following you is there, obeying you is there, your glory is there, your respect is there, everything is in my heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for this, He has given us a method to acquire all of these emotions, and that is sujood, prostration, sajda. Sajda is such an action, it is such a movement, it is such an amal, a practice, that in prostration a person fulfills or demonstrates all of these emotions and confirmations or feelings. Whoever a person prostrates to, the meaning of prostration includes all of this. If a person prostrates to an idol, then when he's worshipping the idol, prostrating to the idol, then all these feelings are in him. In his heart is his greatness of the idol, obedience to the idol, servanthood to the idol, following the idol. If you're prostrating to a tree, you'll prostrate to the tree when all of these feelings towards the tree are there present. So prostration is such an action. It is a reality that when a person prostrates, he accepts, he confirms. And prostration can only be done at that time when a person has all of these feelings and he demonstrates and confirms his approach. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this wahid, one ibadah, which in the Quran Allah ta'ala has mentioned as well. Allah has specified this in the Quran. Apart from Allah, it is not permissible to prostrate to anybody. To anybody. How can a person prostrate to someone else? Is there anyone greater than Allah? Anyone who has a status other than Allah? The creator, the master, the malik, the owner, the khalik, the sustainer, the provider. Only he can be prostrated to. And to prostrate, you confirm all of those emotions and feelings that I mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ibadat, worship, look. All of the worship actions, the peak, the head, you could say, in charge of all that overlooks all the other worship actions is prostration. In Hajj, you don't have that. In fasting, you don't have that. In zakah, you don't have that. In no ibadah, do we see this? Allah Ta'ala has not put the action. It is the ruh, the soul of salah. It is the glory of salah. That all ibadahs, different worship actions, they are separate. And sujood is unique, prostration. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And that's why salah is the head of all actions. And its quality is this. Subhanallah. The quality of salah. That first and foremost, what is it that a person will be asked? He'll be asked about his salah, about his prayer. The person whose prayer will be good, will be complete, then consider that he has attained total success. Total success. First and foremost, the Holy Prophet ﷺ stated that first and foremost, a person will be questioned about salah. If his salah comes out good, then the rest of his deeds and the rest of his reckoning, the balance of it will become easy. Salah will be questioned first, looked at first, analyzed first. Such a great worship action. And what is it that makes it supreme? For this reason, that Allah Ta'ala, within this ibadah, what is He instilled? Which action? Which movement? Sujood, sajda, prostration. Insan, he starts praying salah. As soon as he starts, he raises his hands. And he confirms, he says, Allahu Akbar, Allah, you are the greatest. I've accepted and confirmed that I'm stood in front of you. And I raise my hands to you, Allah. I take my hands away from the dunya. I release my hands from the dunya. Because we raise our hands, don't we? We shun the dunya back. We say, Allah, I'm your servant. I'm present in front of you. I'm here. I'm present. And then when one presents himself, subhanallah, then he presents his requests, puts forward his requests. And first and foremost, when he presents his request before that, he says, my Rabb, I want to praise you first. I want to glorify you. Because I have nothing that I can do to glorify you, praise you. So Allah Ta'ala knew this. And Allah Himself defined to the human being and explained that this is how you can praise me. In these words, you can praise me, glorify me. And then the servant, he repeats those words that Allah Ta'ala Himself has told us. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. All these praises Allah has taught the human being, that Allah says, praise me like this in salah. This is how you praise me. And the person, when he praises Allah, glorifies Allah, then he presents his request to Allah. Yes, by which we will attain the things we need. Then he presents that verse, the emotion is created, then he prostrates, he submits to Allah via salah, during salah. But now he hasn't fulfilled the condition of salah yet. All of this glorifying Allah, praising Allah, and praising and reciting Allah's name, and then he gets to that position, to that point, this is totally, I want to hand myself over to Allah, sign myself to Allah. At that time, so he is increasing that pressure, that emotion, that feeling, that submission during the recitation and the positions of salah. But then he gets to the pinnacle, to the peak, to the heights. And the person, he continues to submit. And then totally he drops to the ground. And he doesn't, his forehead is rubbing on the dust, on the soil. And he's lowered himself and he rubs his face and forehead on the ground. And he praises Allah, hymns Allah's praises, and he recites Allah's name. This is that feeling, that position, that emotion, sajda, prostration. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. Allah mentions this also in the Quran, prostration. What is the sajda? In the dust, in the soil, on the clay, the amazing, amazing satisfaction and pleasure. Who taught us this pleasure and this desperation to prostrate? Where did we realize this? Where did we learn this? Let's go towards Masjid al-Nabawi. Subhanallah. Let's go there. Because the reason of creation, the cause of creation, Imamul Anbiya, Habib Rabbul Alameen, the beloved of Allah, Rabbul Alameen, Lord of the universe, the master of Medina, the master of Medina, the gracious, generous Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's go to his blessed, honorable court presence and see and ask and witness in his masjid, Masjid al-Nabawi. Subhanallah. What was the scene there? What was the practice there? First and foremost, how was the masjid made? How? How did it come about? When the Holy Prophet ﷺ came to Madinatul Manawwara, then Rasulullah's she-camel, and she wandered around, walked around, and then she herself chose that place where the prostration place was to be. She sat down there. Subhanallah. And that sujood, that prostration, which I gave you the example of. So this place was the place where some people would dry their dates on that ground. And the Prophet says, whose place is this? And it was realized that there were two orphans, and it was their place. And the Prophet called them and asked them, that we would like to buy this land from you so that I can make the masjid, so we can make the masjid. And the discussion started. The uncle, he spoke to the orphans, the uncle, subhanAllah, and he said that we will not sell this without selling. We can see this and we'd like to assign it to you. And the Prophet ﷺ did not accept. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, we will have to give the value of this, an amount. And the Prophet ﷺ gave the hukam, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that this value, you pay it for it. SubhanAllah. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, 10 dinars he paid. This was the construction of Masjid Nabawi. Amazing. Millions and millions of human beings and angels come there. How many prostrations, of what great prostrations took place. They stated that a person who lays even a brick for the masjid, he will have a place in Jannah. Abu Bakr Siddiq, amazing home you have in Jannah. That if with your money you purchase the land for Masjid al-Nabawi, is there anyone greater who can compare to Siddiq Akbar? Is there anybody? So then they rested there. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected him for this work. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some dates were cut from the tree, and then with the clay bricks, very simply and humbly, Masjid al-Nabawi, the construction started, and everyone became occupied. The roof of the masjid was, of the branches from the date palms. When it rained, the water would drip through onto the ground. And due to that rain, the moisture, then there was mud on the ground because there was dust and clay on the ground, soil. So when it rained, subhanAllah, the water would drop onto the roof, onto the ceiling. It would drip through onto the ground. And subhanAllah, the Prophet is doing sajda. The Sahaba Akram, the followers, are behind the disciples. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala swore about the land, the earth in the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that muddy water, Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's forehead, blessed, honorable forehead, would rub onto that ground. No hesitation, no embarrassment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would prostrate onto that muddy water ground and do the tasbih, the prostration to Allah, the remembrance of Allah. So brothers, this is sajda, prostration, that the Holy Prophet ﷺ taught us. What a great example, great action. And Allah says here, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. So that here the angels are doing sajda to Adam alayhi salam. Here the adab are being told, that you have to prostrate to Adam. And how did Allah say, what are the adab of the prostration to Adam? First and foremost, the thing that Allah Ta'ala said regarding prostration, adab, the condition with the angels, what was that? SubhanAllah. In their hearts, Adam alayhi salam's greatness was put into their hearts, input into their hearts. His rank, his status, his greatness. In other words, they were taught the uloom. All of this was the preparation for sajda. In reality, that Allah Ta'ala was to say that as long as Allah Ta'ala could have said it before to the malaika that do sajda. But no, these events took place. The meaning of the sajda was being explained. That what is the reason for sajda? That is sajda, prostration. Prostration is done at that time when in your heart you have greatness for that person you're doing sajda, for that thing, the greatness, the rank, the status. So Allah Ta'ala took the angels through those circumstances that we discussed, the malaika. Yes, that greatness was inculcated into their hearts, instilled into their hearts, developed in their hearts. Such a big test they went through, a challenge. That the makhluk of light, it is prostrating in front of the creation made of clay and soil. So this was due to the acceptance. After accepting, in their hearts came the greatness of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Then Allah says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا li Adama, now prostrate in front of Adam. So what was, it is zahir, apparent, there wasn't a sharia sujood, it was just for confirmation, subhanAllah. It wasn't prostration and worship, it was for confirmation. Because obviously for prostration, the angels, that they, subhanAllah, they just submitted in front of Adam alayhi salam. They just bowed. So this wasn't a physical bowing, a prostration of the angels. This was a message that Allah Ta'ala was giving, that was giving, being given to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. That they, Adam, your greatness is being appreciated by the angels. Your children have to prostrate to me in this way. It's symbolic. Look at this. So it wasn't a worship prostration. It was symbolic that your greatness has been put into the hearts of the angels, went to them, and they prostrate you. So now your children, your progeny, they will prostrate me in their hearts. Remember, for prostration to me, my glory, my greatness, my rank, my power, my oneness, everything should be present in Ibn Adam when he prostrates to me. SubhanAllah. So this was preparation for Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and his offspring for sujood, because every prostration gives this message. Every prostration gives this signal. Every prostration confirms. So in reality, what's being told here, taught here, is that when Adam alayhi salam, to prostrate to him, to confirm his greatness and his rank. So tell me, when the human being prostrates to Allah, then how much servanthood and humility is required in the heart of the human being, in the heart. Obviously, prostration, for example, you could see that all the feelings that were in the heart, that, for example, he's made of clay, we do your tasbih Allah, we hymn your praises, and based on Allah's hukam, they could have prostrated. If Allah Ta'ala just directly told them, but one is prostrating via hukam, order, and one is accepting and being content and having awe and honor, that's a different sajda. So one is being forced to prostrate, one is being in love and prostrating, and accepting and prostrating. So the real conclusion is when the person prostrates, when he accepts, when he confirms that he believes in the greatness of who he's prostrating. So when the servant prostrates to Allah, submits to Allah, presents his forehead and rubs it on the ground in the court of Allah, then what should be his condition? What should be his feelings? That totally he should feel servanthood and obedience in his heart. And he should be totally 100% demonstrating through worshipping Allah's greatness, Allah's power, Allah's oneness. He believes this is my Rabb. Allah is my Rabb. He is my Khaliq. He is my Creator. Allah's every order I accept with my life, with my body physically, and Allah's obedience, and whatever I have to do to follow Allah, I will go and do whatever is needed, whatever is necessary. And if these feelings are not in the heart, then that prostration is false. It is hollow and empty. It won't be complete. It won't be a real sajda, a real prostration. Remember this. So how do we know the difference between real, genuine prostration and hollow prostration? Look. That the hollow sajda, if you don't have this feeling, just bow down, prostrate, fall onto the ground, pray salah, prostrate. But this won't take us to the destination. Remember this. This won't take us to the destination. The real sajda, the real prostration, is that in which Allah's greatness is felt throughout the prostrations in our salahs. It has been given, we've been given the invitation, prostrate, so that Allah Ta'ala's greatness has come into your heart, and you're absorbed in your heart, and your body confirms that Allah, I'm obeying you, I'm following your orders. In the Quran, Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah Ta'ala mentions Surah Mu'minun, صَلَاتِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The people of Iman, faith, their success is on in Salah, remember this. And salah is such a great deed, such a great worship, subhanAllah, that only two rak'ah salah, just two rak'ah salah, has so much value. Two rak'ah, two units of salah, that in your heart, if you have Allah's greatness, the respect, focus, then two rak'ah salah, Allah Ta'ala forgives all of his sins. Amazing hadith, amazing. Salatim khashi'un, Allah says in Surah Mu'minun. Salatim khashi'un. Success for you is in salah. What should your salah be? That salah in which there is khashi'un, khushu', total focus, passion, contentment in which you feel and demonstrate Allah's greatness, Allah's superiority, Allah's kingdom, Allah's all power, all knowing. Everything should be confirmed. That is the value of that salah that Allah Ta'ala has defined. The 2 rak'ah salah. SubhanAllah. So khushu, khashi'un. This is the prostration we need to develop. And what should that intensity be in the prostration? Focus and passion. No worldly thought should come in the heart, because this is opposite to servanthood. This is opposite to obedience. To think of something else material. That the human being, the servant is praying salah and he's in prostration. And prostration means total obedience to Allah. Total focusing on Allah. Total thinking about whatever Allah Ta'ala has given, he accepts, confirms. And after getting up from the prostration, Allahu Akbar. Then he listens to music, then he gambles, and then he looks around at evil things, he does bad actions, he earns in the wrong way, he backbites against people. Oh no, he prays Salah, people say. How can this be? This is a very wrong justification that people give for sinning. He prays Salah. And this is in reality where the ibadah has been dishonored. The people, you know, don't pray Salah, for example, to leave Salah. They say, oh, I've seen many people pray Salah. Oh, you know, you always see that he's got the mark of prostration on his forehead, black mark, and he's taken the money from his daughter and he owes this person money and he's done this wrong against somebody else and he's suppressed people's rights. So this Salah, the Salah that person has prayed, but maybe he's not praying properly, he's not prostrating, for which Allah Ta'ala has given us such a great example in the Quran. And when I, Allah says, gave order to the angels to prostrate to Adam, SubhanAllah, that how Allah Ta'ala prepared the angels, the verses we've recited before, that they Allah instilled into the angels the greatness of Adam alayhi salam. So Adam alayhi salam was given this lesson as well, that your children will be with you, that how much they should have in their heart the feeling of my greatness and my oneness, Allah Ta'ala says, through this example I'm teaching you. So what we realize is that in reality, that is the prostration. That if you imagine the whole salah, Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that the mu'mineen and the salah they pray after iman, the salah that will give us success and forgiveness. But such a salah, the prostration should be such that this event is confirming obedience, total obedience and focus. That salah and the prostration should be such that he should not break Allah's laws after that. Allah Ta'ala's laws, if a person breaks Allah's laws and prostrates, disobeys Allah and prostrates, quickly pray Salah, or the drama is going to finish. The drama. Is that Salah? That person who quickly prays his faith, that, for example, he took hold of somebody and he wanted to beat him, he wanted to steal his money. He said, 2 minutes, sit down. Let me just pray Salah. After that, then I'll beat you. Is this Salah? That you quickly get it done. Quickly, we've got to watch the drama. Quickly, oh yeah, we've got to do this. Quickly get namaz out of the way. Get namaz out of the way. Salah out of the way. Is this salah? In other words, to implement sins after this amal of sajda, think, is this salah? Is this correct? This example, Allah Ta'ala, after the angels did prostration to Adam alayhi salam, that Allah Ta'ala said, just like if they are doing this for Adam, then will Adam alayhi salam do sujood to me like this, the way that you do it? Will he disobey me and prostrate to me? Will he commit sins and prostrate to me? Will he go against my instructions and prostrate to me? Their homes, all the clam and the noise and jumping up and down and then prostration on top of that? Wah, subhanAllah. Haram, interest, riba and sujood, prostration. Music being played and sujood, no parda, hijab, sujood, tasbih in the hand, and then complain, Allah, my salah, you don't listen to my du'as. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, so listen to this hadith, that person, if he is praying salah, and his salah doesn't stop him from immodesty and haram, then he will attain nothing from that salah. apart from distance from Allah. Distance. That salah, that doesn't make a person stop, refrain him from immodest things, evil things. Then apart from long gap and distance from Allah, he will attain nothing at all. Nothing at all. That person. The Holy Prophet ﷺ stated, Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regards to such salah and prostration doesn't even glance towards that salah, doesn't even look at it for a split second. Person's body is somewhere and his mind and heart is somewhere else. Subhanallah. Body is somewhere else and the heart is somewhere else, not in the same place. Allah ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even in a like that a person come, he came and prayed salah. And salah means sujood. Salah means prostration. If you take prostration out, salah is ended. Stand there, do ruku, read Quran. That won't be salah. Salah completed when you go into sajda. So that same condition that Allah Ta'ala demands, that I am closest to my servant when he is in sujood. The closeness to Allah, nearness to Allah is attained in salah. And most of all in sajda. And sujood is such a position. Du'as that you make, Allah Ta'ala definitely accepts those du'as made in sajda, in prostration. Definitely Allah Ta'ala accepts them. Imamul Anbiya, Nabi Al-Kareem, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Badr, went into sajda and did du'a in Badr. The noble companions did du'as in sajda. The awliyaullah went into sajda and did du'a because they know, they knew that Allah Ta'ala listens to His servant when He's in sajda. And that's why the closest a human being gets to his Lord, his Master, is in the position of sajda. But which sajda? What type of prostration? That prostration in which there is zero disobedience to Allah, no sins, no haram in life, and his heart isn't going somewhere else. Not just this, that you make somebody start to pray salah. Alhamdulillah, that's good, but not good enough. That you've enabled a person to get to Allah's court. But after that, if you think that's good enough, that's the end of it. No, no, you pray salah, do what you want. Khair, no problem. I pray salah, I can do what I want. It's fine, Allah will accept, no problem. This is wrong what we are doing. This is wrong. This is the fitna, big fitna. In this day and age, the biggest fitna is that people's mind, you collect them, gather them for salah, and after that, do what you want. No, just like you're gathering notes together, but they're all fake notes. Fake notes that you cannot purchase anything, and you won't be able to gain salvation. Your salah won't give you no salvation. It will be fake. That salah will be hollow, empty, in which Allah Ta'ala has said that the Allah Ta'ala gave the example. So that when the angels submitted to Adam alayhi salam, they were prepared. The greatness, وَإِذْ قُلْ لِلْ مَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا. Allah Ta'ala prepared them, explained to them, they learned from Adam alayhi salam. Then they prostrated because their greatness in the heart. So the mu'min, he will have to prepare himself and be clear and ready when he prostrates to Allah. No, 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 I prayed salah. What salah have you prayed? What does it mean, prayed salah? I did salah. How many sins in your life? How much backbiting? How many fraud? How much tricking people? Tell me. What sort of salah is that you've prayed? Salah, precondition. Immodesty and salah, two opposite things. One person that, for example, he was putting his hands towards his beard, and I see this commonly in masjids, people keep on playing with their beard, stroking their beards. I said, what are you doing, stroking your beard? You got a habit, and this person, he was stroking his beard. The Prophet ﷺ saw this, and the Prophet ﷺ said that in your heart, if you had fear of Allah, then you would never in this way be busy with another part of your body. You wouldn't be doing this with your hand if you had awe and fear of Allah in your heart. Has Ali karamallahu wajh, is a ajeeb, unique statement that his face changed suddenly during salah, trembling, shaking. What was he? As Ali karamallahu wajh. Subhanallah. They said, Amir Mu'mineen, what's happened to you? He said, why shouldn't it happen? Allah Ta'ala's trust is time to fulfill it. I have to prostrate to Allah. I've got fear that when I go to prostrate, may not be in prostration, I do not fulfill it correctly, I do something wrong, and I am a hypocrite in front of Allah. In other words, my prostrating in front of Allah, prostrating is that you are confirming that I am obedient to you. I accept everything you say. And we go against Allah in sajda. Allah, we have to accept Allah, you are the Khalik, you are the Malik. And then we prostrate And after that, we do actions totally against that action of prostration. We don't accept Allah as a Rabb. We don't obey Him. We aren't His servants in any of our life actions. So what are we prostrating for? What are we doing in our, what are we confirming in our prostration? It's stated in this verse, the Quran, we've all recited, tell me, explain. This verse is given the message, clear message. So it cannot be that a person who prostrates to Allah, prays Salah, prostrates the sajda, and he does actions against Allah Ta'ala's will. It's stated clearly, the Prophet said clearly, listen, that Allah Ta'ala, that Salah will take you far from Allah. You think I prayed Salah, I'm free, and I pray regularly, I'm pious, and I'm upright and righteous. No, 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 no. That those people who pray Salah say, oh, I've seen money, pray Salah, he steals, he frauds, he's eaten his money, he's done his money, and she thinks she prays Salah, she thinks she's pious. They're right, these people. They're right. The biggest hypocrisy is to prostrate and in parallel you disobey Allah at the same time. Hypocrisy. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said that, should I not fear? Should I be afraid? I'm going to prostrate Allah. Such a great trust Allah has given me, sajda, that the heavens and the earth and the mountains Allah that presented. SubhanAllah, He was the door of knowledge, and His commentary and explanation, He said, in front of Allah, Allah Ta'ala, the earth and the heavens and the mountains were presented. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. But that they couldn't understand the weight of salah, the weight of prostration. As Ali bin Hussein radiallahu anhu, he narrated that when he would do wudu, about him, it was stated that when he would do wudu, then his appearance, his form would change during wudu. They'd ask, what happens when you do wudu that you suddenly change? He said that, don't you know that who am I presenting myself to soon? I'm going to prostrate too soon. I'm getting ready for that. Yes, this wasn't a double game of life. Sajda, prostration, such a great verse. It means what? Tell me, in the Quran, Allah has given this whole event and narration, the scene. It's not a story, the angels, let's read about Adam alayhi salam, let's read about the angels. These aren't stories, brothers. These aren't folk tales. Look how Allah gathered the angels and how Adam alayhi salam, He gave them the knowledge, then they prostrated. This is the message to Adam alayhi salam, that your children should prostrate to me, just like your greatness was instilled into the angels. Same way the greatness, my greatness, Allah says, should be in your children. Yes, and this is how they should prostrate to me. Tell me. So this is the fitna, biggest fitna of this day and age. Oh, I've seen people pray. Oh, have you seen people pray Salah? What's the point of praying? In the final days, the Prophet says, there'll be people in my ummah who will come to the masjid and they will gather together. They will establish gatherings. Forget about praying. And worldly gatherings, and talk about the world and the love of the world will be discussed. Don't sit in their gatherings and know Allahu Akbar. Don't sit in those gatherings, in those assemblies. And I have no need for these people. No need for these people. So what is this salah where we accept? Do you understand what I'm saying? So Allah Ta'ala says that is salah in which total obedience to Allah, total obedience to Allah, that we've accepted Allah and prostrated to You. So now what? What is the message that Allah Ta'ala has given here? The message comes clear to us. SubhanAllah. The brothers, we can see how we should be praying. Let's think ourselves, is my salah correct? Is it done properly? Yes, all of our salahs that we've prayed and our prostration should be how from now? That really there should be obedience to Allah. There should be no disobedience of Allah before salah. So what this means, that do we leave salah? Do we leave sajda? Do we leave prayer? No, this is not the case. No, the message that Allah Ta'ala is giving here is that we need to correct our salah, establish our salah, we need to improve our prostration, align our prostration, correct our prostration in which way? That we should obey Allah in our lives, we should refrain from sins, stop sinning, zahir and batin, external, internal, save it from sins, work hard for this. How? This Quran, as I say to you, every line explains sunnah and sharia and tasawwuf. And the message is given again, that Such salah, to pray such a salah where your heart is submitted totally to Allah, you have khushu, total contentment and satisfaction and peace and total submission and fear of Allah after repenting from the sins, after promising not to sin and not sinning at the same time and not in the state of sin, to present yourself to Allah. And how should we prepare for that? That we need to clean our hearts with dhikr of Allah. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says that you are human beings, you are my servants, you live in the world, you will wander around amongst impurities, nafs will be with you, and you'll have to do one thing. But salah, you have to pray in the right way, in obedience in your salah, submission in your salah, no sins. You have to pray, Allah Ta'ala says. There's nothing that you can, no let up on this. There will be modesty in the world. Allah says, I'm sending you to such an environment, but you still have to pray salah in the right way, and that's the reward you will get. There's no excuses that the world is impure, I can't save myself, Allah, I'm stuck in the world, how can I pray salah properly? No. Unless you'll be questioned thereafter, that did you try to save yourself from sins? If we say, Allah, I tried, but I didn't know how to do that, then Allah has told us clearly how to save ourselves, how to protect ourselves. Subhanallah. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Do the dhikr of Allah kathir, abundance, and your salah will become so elevated in which there will be no sin, no disobedience. There will be obedience beyond obedience. And the enjoyment of that sajda you cannot imagine. Subhanallah. Such a sajda, person when he prostrates to Allah like this, then he should have no sins to his name when he prostrates. He should be light and stood in Allah's court in front of Allah, in front of Allah's mercy. For this we need to make effort, my brothers, my friends. We need to make effort, work hard. And Allah will give us that feeling, that contemplation, that emotion. So do dhikr kathir in abundance, high quantity. Sit in the company of the friends of Allah and understand the principles of tazkiyah. Implement them and learn the asbaqs, the lessons for tazkiyah night and day. Work hard for which purpose? So that we can leave the sins, migrate from the sins, so we can prostrate to Allah, so that our salah can become accepted. So that our salah can become great, unique. So this verse, this is the message of this verse, that we need to establish our salah. When Allah gives us the tawfiq, ability to pray salah, and we start praying salah, we go to the masjid, then we haven't attained our objective yet. We haven't got to the destination. We have to make our salah capable. And how do we do that? Via not doing any sins. We need to save ourselves from sins. Our bodies we save from sins. Our tongues we save from sins. We don't implement haram actions. We don't consume people's haqooq and rights. Then prostrate to Allah and the enjoyment will come. For this, we need to do dhikr Allah kathira, dhikr in high quantity, abundance, and ask Allah and that our hearts are purified. Inshallah, when a person works hard on this principle and he purifies his heart and he turns to Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his salah, establish his salah. So inshallah, this is the first part of the verse, and tomorrow we will continue where Allah ta'ala orders, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. And then we'll go continue. إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. Subhanallah. So time is short. I will leave the verse here. The next part of the verse, we will, if Allah gives us the tawfiq and Allah has mercy on us, then the next part of the verse we'll see what special message Allah Ta'ala gives to us from this verse. إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. First message we understood, the sajda, what is prostration? As Adam alayhi salam, the angels, why they prostrated? What was that prostration? Now we will see further. إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. What was that? What does that mean? That what is Iblis and what is the meaning of this, inshaAllah? In the next dars, we will discuss this. وَآخُرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.